Are you a practitioner or a coach listening to this? If so, I would love to ask you, do you use hypnotherapy in your practice working with clients? And if not, would you like to? The power of hypnotherapy is limitless. And so often we experience our clients struggling to reach their goals. It's because they're coming up against their own brick walls and getting stuck. But you can help them through the power of hypnosis break through all of that, working with their unconscious mind to put the suggestions in to have them taking the action to achieve the results that they want. They are thrilled with your coaching techniques. They're getting the results they want. You feel amazing because you are helping your client get the results they want. It's a win-win. And another win is that it's an added revenue stream for you in your business. So if you like the feel of helping your clients get the results they want, if you like the sound of that, then definitely reach out, Melissa, at yourguidedhealthjourney.com or click the Linktree link below for my Unlimited Power of Hypnosis class to learn more. It's a weekend designation program that I teach, valid in 42 countries. You write an exam after taking the experiential course, and you can be admitted to the American Board of Hypnotherapy and start using hypnotherapy one-to-one with your clients and have them achieving the results they want. Imagine getting up every day full of energy as if you were in your 20s again. What would that be like? What would that be worth to you? What is your health worth to you? Think about it. Your health isn't everything, but without it, everything else is nothing. And yet, too many of us are taking it for granted until something goes wrong. No one wakes up hoping to be diagnosed with a disease or chronic illness, and yet we've never been taught how to be proactive in our health through our school system or public health. As a registered health coach and integrative health practitioner, I believe it is time this information is made available to everyone. Combining new knowledge around your health and the ability to do my functional medicine lab tests in the comfort of your own home will allow you to optimize your health for today and all your tomorrows. Don't wait for your wake-up call. Welcome back to another episode of the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I am Melissa Dealey, your host, and I am here today with Scheherazade Rhyad. Welcome to the show, Scheherazade.
Hello. Hi, Melissa. Thank you very much for having me here. It's my pleasure. I'm happy. Yes.
I'm very excited to have this conversation with you, and this month, I'm talking about heart health and hormones, and you just bring all of this together so beautifully. So let me introduce you to the audience. Scheherazade is an MD, a PhD, a spirited medical doctor and biotechnologist dedicated to enhancing health and well-being with a holistic view. With a blend of medical expertise and scientific curiosity, she has journeyed from researching sleep medicine to exploring the delightful world of food, uncovering potent healers along the way. In her journey, she champions the idea of food as medicine and playfully adds, and your supplements. With a spark of enthusiasm, she believes that what we put on our plates can profoundly impact our cardiovascular well-being. It's not just about eating, it's about nourishing our hearts and souls. At New Treat Nutrition, Scheherazade leads a passionate team of researchers on a mission to revolutionize healthcare through nutrition. Together, they embark on a flavor-filled adventure discovering the secrets of how food and supplements can work wonders for heart health. Join her as she translates scientific knowledge into practical solutions, guiding individuals towards healthier hearts and happier lives. So I absolutely love that, Scheherazade, because we know that cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in North America.
Yes.
And if we
True.
Teach people how what they're doing today is putting them on that path and how they can make minor changes and live a longer, healthier life with a happier, healthier heart, how amazing would that be? So I love your mission. And I would love to just go back in time, though. What got you to this place where you're at now with this focus? Where did you start?
Well, I had quite a journey. I could say I'm really adventurous. My journey started when I decided, okay, I want to learn more about human body. So I went and did medicine, but I also practiced for 2 years as a physician. But it was too boring in the office. So as adventurous as I am, I started a PhD course on the chemical and biomedical engineering. Mm-hmm. And then I became a scientist working at the Innovation Center and then in the university. And then at that time, I was in Singapore. So I became accustomed to the Eastern diet and the Eastern food and how is eating so different on the other side of the world. Mm-hmm. And then when I came to Canada, I noticed that, the diet has changed a lot. Yes. And like my son, he had quite perfect healthy teeth. And when we came to Canada in like 6 months or so, he developed cavity in his teeth. And it was quite a big one. And then I noticed that it's called ECC. Early childhood caries is the most common disease in children. Can you believe it? It's not common cold. It's the dental decay. Yeah. And so it was clearly due to the difference in the food that we were eating.
Yes.
And that was the journey that I started looking back. And I noticed that, well, we are definitely missing some specific vitamins and some food that is missed in the Western diet. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy that you mentioned the cardiovascular diseases here. We're talking, the topic is heart and hormones, but the whole body is one system. And yes, you will be amazed that how the dental health is related to the heart health. That's yes, very interesting, right?
I yeah, am very aware of that. And, you know, whatever is in our mouth and all the bacteria that ends up in our mouth, mm-hmm, et cetera, that is moving down our throat, yes, and into the rest of our body. So it makes sense, although I had to learn it as opposed to just realize it of my own accord, if you know what I mean. And so therefore many True. Other people aren't aware of that either. And it's through my work with holistic dentists that I'm learning more about this connection. And so
yeah, I'm glad that the government of Canada also noticed that. They mm-hmm, they bring the dental care for, especially for children, because they know that it can prevent a lot of diseases in future. And this is all that I'm talking about, prevention. That's yes, the most important thing. Yes. And as you mentioned, the cardiovascular diseases is the number one cause of death in the developed countries, especially, and also global. And that is very, very concerning. Mm-hmm. I don't like statistics, but the only use that it can have for us is that we see what we can prevent.
Yes,
it's like history telling us what to learn from the history and move forward.
Yeah,
we know what to do to prevent.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And those statistics help because it starts to bring into awareness the problem.
Yes.
And then when yes, we have the problem in our awareness, then we can choose to do something about it.
Exactly. The problem is that, like, the cancer and cardiovascular diseases, they're like head and head. Some time ago, cancer was number one, yes, number one killer. Yes. Now it's again cardiovascular disease. And then I believe maybe it is because that we, through the time, we can diagnose cancer earlier. And we can prevent it better. But cardiovascular diseases are very difficult to diagnose early because they are like symptom-free at first.
And right.
Whenever we see the symptom, it's already too late.
Right.
And then we will have all the complications later. So we should not wait for the symptom, as you mentioned.
Yes, right? Exactly. I love that you're in this field of prevention, as am I. And so that is, again, encouraging people to stay on top of your health all the time.
Exactly.
You can run lab tests, you know, with your mainstream medical doctor, as well as functional medicine lab tests, where we can get very early cues that something might be off with your heart health just by looking at your electrolyte levels, just by looking at your inflammation levels. And that can allow you to just change your nutrition. So very minor changes to support your heart so that it doesn't get to a place where it's now a symptom. And as you say, it's almost too late.
Yes, exactly. And then now we are talking about hormones and electrolytes, which are very related to what I would call a harmony. Mm-hmm. Or in medicine, we call it homeostasis.
Right.
A stasis that the body is in the balance and in harmony, in working, everything, every system is working together perfectly and beautifully in order for us to live happy. And that is the level that we want to be at, where we are at harmony. And mm-hmm. this is the life, long life story of love. When we are talking about heart, we are talking about love.
Yes.
And normally, if you go to a cardiologist and tell them that I'm heartbroken, they wouldn't consider it, right?
Right.
that's not of my business. And, you can go to the psychologist. But in fact, I can tell you the most serious problem for our heart health is the amount of stress.
Yes.
And if you look at the psychology text, they will tell you the highest amount of stress is like divorce or loss of a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
So that is heartbreak, right?
Yes.
And we know it when we say that, we know what's happening, but our doctors don't relate to this problem because it's not in the medical textbooks, right?
Right. They're just looking yes. at the physical body. Whereas
exactly.
what you're talking about here is the connection of the physical body to the emotional body, which are connected. We can't separate them. And
True.
The mental body is connected. The spiritual body is all connected. And so it is important for people to understand this, that our emotions yes. are impacting our health. Absolutely.
That's the key. And I'm happy you bring it up. That's the emotion that we can understand what's happening. Like when I'm talking with myself, all of us, we talk with ourselves. And we use the language. So I'm bilingual when I'm talking with myself. But what if myself wants to talk to me? The other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Scientifically speaking, how does my brain communicate with me? And that's through emotion. And emotion, if we want to look at it from the biochemistry side, mm-hmm. it's all about those chemical
reaction.
The chemicals running all around in our body mm-hmm. and regulating this harmony. And those are called hormones. Right? This is how we communicate, that our cells communicate with each other. And let me bring in what is the definition of a hormone.
Mm-hmm.
A hormone is a chemical, like a peptide, or you can say it's a molecule that is made by our cells inside the body. Generally speaking, it's made by our glands.
Mm-hmm.
There are specific cells to make the hormones, right? And the most important hormones that affect our heart are thyroid hormones mm-hmm. and adrenal hormones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can argue that all the hormones in the body, in one way or another, they will affect the heart.
Yes.
Insulin will affect the heart, right? Everything affects the heart. Directly speaking, it's thyroid hormone and adrenal hormone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we say stress. What we mean biochemically, we mean that the stress will cause the adrenal hormones like cortisol, adrenaline, and noradrenaline, or the other name, epinephrine, norepinephrine, they will be released in the body. And then they will go and affect the heart and affect a lot of systems in the body. And that is where they can increase the heart rate, they can increase the blood pressure, and it is very, very good for us. I mean, stress is not a bad thing. I can say I have stress, so I'm alive.
Yes.
If we don't have stress, we're not living, right?
Right.
Let's say that my bus is going, and I want to reach it. Otherwise, I have to wait half an hour for the next bus, right?
Yes.
So what I do is that, like, I go a 100-meter run.
Right.
That I might be running faster. That's faster than an Olympian.
Right.
Where I'm not an athlete. But what happens is that these stress hormones are released, and they can help to increase the blood pressure and increase the amount of blood to my muscles so that I can boost my energy in order to run that distance and reach to my goal. If I reach the bus, then I can happily sit down, relax, and then rewind, right?
Yes.
And that's how it's supposed to happen. But during the daily interaction, especially what we are having our modern life, is that we have a lot of stressors. So we suffer from repeated and chronic stress.
Yes.
And that is what is causing all the problems and this load of stress on our heart. And that's what is... leading to all these problems with the cardiovascular disease.
So what you're saying, just to recap there, is the body needs stress. It needs to be in the sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight, short spurts, in order to have greater blood flow through the body, which brings more oxygenation, et cetera, throughout the body. However, then we need to be able to stop and get out of that stress and get into our relax and digest state, our parasympathetic nervous system. And that's how the body is designed to function optimally. However, in our modern world, too many of us are just staying in that fight or flight state because stress on top of a stress on top of a stress on top of a stress, and we're not spending enough time in our parasympathetic nervous system. And that is what is causing heart issues and other disease of the body.
That's true. And I was going to that, to reach to the fact that our autonomic nervous system is the system that is controlling our heart. So that's the good thing is that my heart will not stop beating, right? Because
right.
I'm asleep or I'm resting.
It's yes.
active all the time. But the bad news is that whenever I have too much activation of the sympathetic nervous system, it's too much pressure on my heart.
Yes.
And that's what's happening these days. So I would say, like, we need to go to the rest and relax system, which is the parasympathetic state, in order to give some rest to our heart, bring it into harmony again, right? The balance goes back to that. So I have done research on sleep medicine, and we noticed that we can predict cardiovascular diseases, like especially the deaths, through the sleep medicine, considering the fact that, for example, when we sleep, our blood pressure should normally go down.
Right.
That's what is expected of a healthy heart. But if the blood pressure does not go down during the sleep, that's one of the risk factors for cardiovascular disease.
Right.
Then there is bruxism. When you have tooth grinding during the night, that is the activation of sympathetic nervous system.
Right.
It shows that my sympathetic nervous system is still active during sleep. which normally is supposed to be a rest and relaxing state. And that is what we know that, oh, what's happening is that I didn't get a good night's sleep. Why that happened? And then it leads to the fact that there are too much pressure on my heart. So emotions, when we say emotions, they are indicators of what's happening inside my body, so that I know that if I don't feel that love and relaxation and that happiness, it means that I'm under stress and I have to balance my body in order to reach to that harmony so that I can feel the love for my heart again.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I love how you share that. And it makes so much sense. You know, if you're grinding your teeth in the night, obviously your brain is working on some problem, some issue. And that is a clue that even in your sleep, you are stressed out. And then that is a symptom for you to say, okay, what can I do in order to support, improve sleep and in support my body's ability to calm before I go to sleep so I can have a deep, restful, restorative, relaxed sleep.
True. So let's get back to the cardiovascular disease. The most important parts, these are a series of diseases, right? It can affect the heart muscle, it can affect the heart valves, or it can affect the blood vessels of the heart.
Right.
That is a coronary artery disease. CAD is the most problematic part of cardiovascular disease that leads to the even sudden death.
Right.
And that is because, the heart is a muscle, a specialized muscle that is quite thick. And it needs its own blood supply, right? It's like a bank. The bank employees cannot get their hands on money that is coming and going every day. That is all budgeted, right? The blood is budgeted all for the body, different organs and everything. So there are specific type of small arteries called coronary arteries that they supply the blood to the heart itself.
Right.
And those arteries are very, very important. Right? We all know about them. Coronary arteries are very famous. I have to say, like, my own thesis was on small blood vessels, and this means the size of 3 to 5 millimeter in diameter. And these are the most important parts of our body that we should take care of very well, because if they are blocked, then there is less oxygenation for the heart. If they are blocked, then there is less oxygenation for the brain. These are two important organs that can cause a heart attack, that can cause a stroke, and also all around the body. So what we should think about, one practical approach to preventing the heart disease and many other problems, is taking care of a small diameter blood vessel. And the reason why the small size is important, because it's easy to get blocked by the atherosclerosis. It's the plaque that grows inside of the artery. And why that happens? Right? The question is this: how can I prevent that? Normally, the reason that happens is because we have endothelial cells. They are inner lining of these cells. They're just one layer of cells. They're very sensitive. And when they are damaged through inflammation, through too much sugar causes inflammation, blood sugar. And also sometimes it's completely physical, like the turbulence of the blood.
Right.
If the mechanical of fluid inside any tube shows that, like at the bifurcation sites or different sites of the blood vessel, there can be turbulation, especially if the blood viscosity is changing, like we are dehydrated, or it's the sugar is too high, or the hemoglobin is different. So that causes mechanical stress on these cells. They get damaged. And then for healing that damage, cholesterol kicks in. right? The cholesterol will sit on that. So for a long time, the doctors, they say, oh, don't eat cholesterol because it will plaque your arteries, right? What we didn't know was that actually cholesterol is the good guy.
Yes.
It's like a fireman.
Right.
Someone can go and say, like, these houses are burning and I see firemen all around the burning houses, so they can be the cause of fire.
So, right, you know, right, right.
They're not causing the fire, they're helping.
They're the good guy.
they want to put down the fire.
Yes.
But if they stay there for a long time and the healing doesn't happen, and the calcium sits on top of that plaque, then it makes the plaque like stable, and then it will be hardened and calcified inside the vessel, mm-hmm. and that is the more advanced stages of atherosclerosis. That's very dangerous, you could say. So we were talking about electrolytes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Electrolytes are, calcium is a very, very important electrolyte for muscle contraction. Mm-hmm. We know that every muscle, if we want to contract muscle, we need calcium.
Right.
Heart is a very important muscle. Mm-hmm. So it needs the balanced amount of calcium.
Right.
If we don't eat calcium, it still works, because we have the reserve of calcium in our bones.
Right. Right?
And then the body will mobilize that and bring the calcium out in order to do its vital function of heart pumping.
Right.
But if we eat too much calcium, what happens is that our blood calcium will rise. And then where do these calcium ions sit? If it's too much calcium, the thing is they need another vitamin in order to go inside the bone through the osteocalcin and then sit on the bone or in the teeth, and right. not sit on the inside of our blood vessels,
right?
Because the atherosclerosis, or they also call it hardening of the blood vessel, right? It
yes.
will increase. Our blood vessels should be quite elastic.
Yeah,
they should be able to allow for the function of the blood pulsation.
Mm-hmm.
But if they are hardened, then that would cause cardiovascular disease and all the problems that we know of.
Because they restrict and expand, and so then that
yes.
can trigger high blood pressure too, because
true.
It appears that the blood is, you know, coming through at more pressure,
yes.
really because it's too hard and the vessel isn't moving to allow the more natural flow of blood.
Exactly, and that is one of the reasons they say, like, high blood pressure is the risk factor mm-hmm. of cardiovascular disease. One of the risk factors. And it happens because like this unsung hero in cardiovascular disease, this unknown vitamin, which I call it. And then the name is vitamin K2.
Right.
But we know vitamin K is one of the fat soluble vitamins. We have four of them. D3, we have vitamin K, E, and A. These are fat-soluble vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
What we didn't know was that the vitamin K is for coagulation. That is the K1 cousin. But it has another cousin, which is vitamin K2.
Right.
And what it does is regulation of the calcium. So it helps the calcium to go inside the heart tissue. And then now when we look at it, we see that, okay, now in the society, I see osteoporosis and cardiovascular diseases at the same time.
Right.
So the calcium is sitting inside the arteries and it's not going to the bone.
Right.
What happens here? What's the missing link? We are missing this vitamin that sends the calcium inside the bone. And it was in 2011, I think, British Journal, they mentioned this study where they did women were taking more calcium for prevention of osteoporosis. And what happened is that the cardiovascular diseases were higher.
Right.
They got stroke and heart attack.
Right.
And then they studied back, they looked back and they noticed, oh, what happened here is that we are missing this vitamin in, and then we caused cardiovascular disease by suggesting the taking of calcium without knowing the whole picture.
Right.
And the whole picture is that vitamin D3 that we all take because we know it's very important for our immune system, right? Through the coronavirus, we all went to Canada, right?
Yes.
It's Canada. We need vitamin D3. We don't have that much sun, and especially during the winter. And then it will increase the absorption of calcium in the intestine 20 times. So we get a lot of calcium in our body. And after that, we don't have vitamin K2. So this calcium will be damaging to our tissues. And what happens to this excess calcium is after it sits on the arteries and these things, then it has to be excreted through the kidneys. And it can cause a kidney stone. Mm-hmm. So we have noticed this, that the people who receive higher doses of vitamin D3, they have the risk factor of developing kidney stones.
Kidney stones.
This is the side effect of taking too much vitamin D3. So everything should be done under the supervision of the clinician. We should know about that, whether we are taking enough vitamin D3, especially if it's higher doses, we should be very careful with that. And where does this vitamin K2 come from? Like the thing is vitamin K2 and also vitamin D3. These two vitamins are vitamins, but they also have the effects of hormones.
Right.
There are articles out that they say they have two sides to them. They have some aspects of their function is like hormones, mm-hmm. and some aspects are like vitamins.
Right.
So we know that hormones, we define the hormones, they are produced by cells, right? And how do we get the vitamin D3? Through the sun coming to our skin, and then the skin cells will make this vitamin D3 for us. That's it's not a gland, but it's a cell making that. So it's a vitamin, a hormone by itself, mm-hmm. and it has many effects of hormones. That's why they say like vitamin D3 is very important, more important than other vitamins. And the vitamin K2 is like a friend of it. They go together.
Yes.
They ride along because they have many overlapping functions. And during COVID also, there were articles coming out saying that vitamin K2 also contributes to our immune system. And it was helpful for the COVID patients as well. So this vitamin K2 is made by bacteria. It's not human cells, it's bacterial cells that make vitamin K2. In the old days, that's like the animals were grass-fed. Mm-hmm. The cows were grass-fed, they would eat the grass. The microbiome of the cow will make the vitamin K2. It's fat-soluble, so it goes to the fat. So we eat the grass-fed butter or milk or the meat from grass-fed animal, we get this vitamin. Right? But these days, the agriculture is somehow different. The animals are grain fed,
yes.
and therefore this vitamin is without us knowing, it's missing in our diet.
Right.
In Eastern diets, they have a lot of fermented food.
Yes.
They eat a lot of fermented food, so they they don't have this much deficiency of vitamin K2. In Japan, there's a product, it's named natto.
I know it very well. Yes.
Yeah. It's yes. Fermented soybean. Mm-hmm. And fermented soybean is, they say it's very healthy, and it's the reason why the Japanese women stay younger for longer, right? In Western diet, we don't have a similar counterpart. We have some fermented vegetables like sauerkraut. Sauerkraut has a little bit of vitamin K too, but not that much.
Right.
Like if we want to eat a lot of sauerkraut, it's a lot of sodium. It
right.
imbalances our electrolytes, right? What I was doing, and this our research was covering that, is that we fermented chickpeas instead of soybean, because we noticed that a lot of people are not they might be allergic to soy,
right?
And then the profile of the taste and the texture and everything is it needs to be near to Western diet so that right. we can accept it and we can bring it into our diet. Especially for the children, you know, they want to have strong teeth and strong bones and less tooth decay. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason why we need to give the children more of the fermented food, and they wouldn't like it.
Right. And then they won't eat it.
Exactly. Exactly. They even don't like vegetable that much, let alone fermented vegetable.
Right.
That's why I was making this method of bringing this fermented food in another form that we can have sprinkles. We can have powders that we can hide it, or we can merge it with our food in a way that me and children can happily eat it. And we can get this vitamin without knowing it. And that's when we created this fermented chickpea powder. It's a natural powder. This is not extracted vitamin K2, or it's not synthetic form of vitamin. It's the natural vitamin. And what we do is that we process it in a way that it's all the vitamin is preserved in the final product, in the powder form. So we measure the amount of vitamins, and we make sure that the final product is having the vitamins that
right.
naturally form. Mm-hmm. And you know the importance of getting the natural form of vitamins versus the artificial vitamins, because they are complex form. It's not mm-hmm. just one vitamin. Like we say, vitamin K2 is menaquinone, right? MK. The symbol is MK. And then we have MK4, MK7. It's the number of their rings. So we say MK7 has a higher absorption.
Right.
And then we take the supplement of MK7. But what happens in the fermented food is that we have MK4, we have MK8, we have MK10. This is a complex array of different formulations of this vitamin, as well as enzymes that make it more bioavailable and make it safer to eat, especially for children, because we don't want very high dose of any kind of chemical, like even vitamins. We just learned that higher dose of vitamin B3 can be having a lot of side effects, as well as higher doses of vitamin K2. Can have side effects. So it's best to get everything in moderation and from the food. That's why I'm saying that our food can be our supplement, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
But
and our medicine.
How much is it? Yes, that's the next step. And it was shown in the recent papers, it was shown that people with slight arteries, coronary arteries, like they had the 60% blockage of the artery. Okay. Yes. And they did a calcium scan. It's a non-invasive method of scanning for blockage of coronary arteries. It's a CT scan. They look at the amount of calcium deposition and they say, how much is the artery clogged? And then they had like around 60% blockage. This is not the amount that you want to recommend angioplasty, for example. These people took the vitamin K2, and after I think 3 or 6 months, they noticed that the arteries were opening.
Nice.
So it reached to like 20%.
Wow.
Yeah, then it was really amazing. I read it and I said, oh, it's not only preventative, it's also treatment. Then it turned out that the vitamin K2 can mobilize the calcium from these plaques and send them back to the bone and then open the arteries again so that this problem with CAD, coronary artery disease, is actually reversible. Previously,
and we're also preventing osteoporosis at the same time because we're pushing the calcium back into the bones.
It's the same problem.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
Yeah,
and it's like hitting two birds with one stone.
Beautiful. I love it.
I even can say that it's more than two birds that we are kicking, hitting. Like, we know that vitamin K2 is also preventing the tooth decay, right? And that is good for our health. And also we know that vitamin K2 helps with skin. With the aging.
Right.
So there would be less wrinkles.
Right.
It helps with elasticity of the blood vessels. And therefore, more elastic blood vessels means better flow of blood and harmony of cardiovascular system. True. And then more than that is that they noticed that it's preventative to some forms of cancer as well. Yes, this was really amazing that how missing of one special component is affecting a lot of systems in our body.
Yes, and I really appreciate you coming on today and just explaining this, and you explain it so beautifully and you have great analogies.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I love the idea of the blood supply for the heart is like a bank, and the firemen outside the house putting out putting the fire out, they're the good guys, and your analogies are just wonderful. So thank you for explaining all of this, and
welcome.
Thank you for your research. I really feel like you're onto something here and we need to share this with the world. And I, for one, definitely would like to know more about your vitamin K2 supplement, because I know my husband has high blood pressure. And so this could be something that could benefit him and many others. And of course, anybody who is starting something like this that is already on medications also need to be talking to their doctor about it, because as the body starts to heal, the medication doses might need to be changed. And so this isn't something that you just go and do on your own. It does need to be in communication with your doctor for sure. So thank you so much for all of this wonderful information. I really appreciate it. And as we come to the end of the show, I always love to ask my guests the same question, and that is, what does don't wait for your wake-up call mean to you?
Well, I would say that's the perfect way of saying this, for especially for the heart, because the topic is itch, right? Heart and hormones. And we know that heart disease is symptom-free until it reaches to the dangerous levels. So it's best not to wait for the wake-up call of the cardiovascular disease and just think of harmony and think of love and relax and nourish our bodies before waiting for the wake-up call to start eating right and start doing exercise. Exercise is also a form of relieving stress and being happy and healthy.
Beautiful. It's all about prevention, as you said at the very beginning.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. Now, if people would like to get in touch with you and learn more about your supplement, about your work at Nutreat Nutrition, how can they get hold of you?
Well, we have a website. We're not selling yet because we have just filed a patent, finished our research and development, but the product will be coming soon, hopefully. I have a free gift that is all you need to know about vitamin K2 in a story. If you would like to get that PDF, please go to the website and enter your email so that I can send it to you. There will be no newsletters. I'll just send this PDF and then we'll let you know, give you a heads up when the product is ready.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I will do that. I invite all the listeners to do that as well.
Thank you.
This is very important information for people. As we said at the beginning, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in North America, and it doesn't have to be that way when you learn how to bring your body back into balance. And as we've learned today, we're not getting K2 in our diet naturally. So take the time to do some research into this, get the PDF document to learn more about it, get on Scheherazade's list so that when this product comes out, you will get notified. And if it's right for you, you can choose to add it to your supplementation and support your health. So thank you very, very much. And do you have any last words of wisdom you would like to share with the audience today?
Firstly, I should say I thank you. And I thank to all the listeners for paying attention, for being here. And last but not least is that just live happy and stress-free and have a wonderful life.
That's beautiful. Great advice. Thank you very, very much for your time, for coming on the show, for sharing your wisdom. I really appreciate it. All of your information's in the show notes so listeners can find it. And listeners, please share this episode with others in your life that care about their health, that want to take these preventative steps, or to encourage them to be taking preventative steps so that they can understand why it's so important, because Scheherazade has explained it so beautifully today. So thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
And wishing everyone a great week ahead. Thank you for investing this time with me on the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I'm so glad you joined in. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit and have a positive impact on their life, that would be wonderful. Please leave a review by going to your favorite podcast listening app and let me know what you enjoy or would like to hear more of. It will support me in my effort to bring the possibility of natural healing to a wider audience and help disrupt the sick care system we have today and make human health a global priority. Health is your true wealth.